Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Jungle Show. So excited for y'all to join us once again. We're here to talk about an Auburn win, which is always a plus and always an advantage here on this show, here at Auburn Daily. Today, we're here to talk about Auburn's win over Mississippi State. They win in Neville Arena by a score of 69-63. Some interesting storylines and some stats from this game. We're here to talk about it, all about it, here on Auburn Daily's YouTube channel, Twitch live stream, and podcast feed. So thank you all for joining us. I'm going to go ahead and bring in, just as always, my dad and co-host. Dad, sitting across from me again. We got a new little look on the show, on YouTube, for our YouTube listeners. But excited to talk about this Auburn win.
I am too. I was at dinner with some friends last night, so I didn't get to watch the first half live. Was tracking it through the ESPN a little bit and getting snaps from you.
Yep.
And then was able to watch the second half with that group, all of them Auburn fans. And wasn't maybe the prettiest win, but I have a feeling we're going to say that about all of our games. We're not going to win pretty.
No.
And but it's an SEC win, and it continues the home winning streak. So
that's right. Auburn improves. One of the big storylines from this game is Auburn, again, remains and keeps and improves on their home winning streak. Second longest in the country. Gonzaga's at 75.
Don't Auburn. Count Gonzaga.
Yeah, I really don't count Gonzaga because they haven't
75?
Played. They haven't played like a top 150 net team at home in that streak.
Yeah,
so that's hard. That's hard to count Gonzaga, but Auburn's is still impressive coming off of going undefeated at home a year ago.
28.
To being undefeated at home now. 28 straight in a row. Have a really good chance to extend that even farther. So excited about that.
If I would have told you during the Tony Barbie era that one year we would win 28 straight home games, you'd have laughed me off the show.
Yeah.
And I would have deserved it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Change the culture.
Yep, no doubt. So getting into talking about this game, just a few little stats to start us off and what happened during the game. Obviously, Auburn wins by 6. It kind of felt like more than that, especially mid-second half. The lead got out to 13 and 15 a few times, and Auburn really just never wavered it. But Auburn looked very, very impressive from the get-go. One guy in particular, very much, Mr. Jalen Williams, looked absolutely fantastic. He had 21 points, 5 of 7 from 3, had 7 rebounds. He was unbelievable in this game. Another guy played really well, especially down the stretch of the end of the game, was Wendell Green. And we talk about time in and time out. If Wendell Green plays really good, Auburn's going to play really good. Wendell Green plays kind of average, Auburn's going to play average. If Wendell Green plays bad, Auburn's going to play bad. And that's shown for completely correct so far in this season and in conference play especially. He has 17 points and 3 assists in this game, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. Janai Broome did not play as well as we've seen him play throughout conference play. He only had 6 points, 4 rebounds. You know, he wasn't bad. Jalen Williams was just playing incredible. So you had to get the ball to Jalen, especially on the perimeter. Alan Flanagan with 10 points, 2 threes. Kate Johnson finally made a 3.
Oh, how long 5 points. I was so glad to see that 3 go in for that young man.
And so was he, by the way. Oh, my gosh. You know, it was so exciting. You know, it was so relieving for him.
Oh, my God.
Some interesting other storylines for Mississippi State. Tolu Smith continues to look like a SEC first team type of player.
NBA player.
20 points and 10 rebounds in this game, 8 of 13 from the field for him.
He's really good. Maybe one of the best bigs in the country.
Yeah, and then DJ Jeffries looked impressive as well with 12 points and 8 rebounds. But one of the biggest storylines for Mississippi State, at least, they went 0 of 18 from three-point land in this game, did not make a shot, that none of them looked close. I mean, they were really struggling from the outside. They have been for the better part of a few weeks now. What is going on with it? This Mississippi State team is struggling.
I don't understand it. I think the kids that they've got are decent shooters. I know that they put the focus on going into Tolu. And as they should. He's the best player on their team. He was probably the best player on the court, him and Jalen Williams last night.
Yeah.
But he's an NBA guy. And the other kid, the Matthews kid or whatever, that looks like an NFL tight end that was playing down there is also pretty impressive. But how you go 0 of 18, I don't understand it. And you're right. Most of them were clinging off the back rim or air balls. Yeah. Not of very few of them look like they were going in.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's partially on our defense, although they had some open looks.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful they didn't go in because it could have made it a lot more interesting than it was.
That's right. So Auburn coming off of a kind of an offensively dominated performance on the road against Ole Miss in Oxford on Tuesday night, comes home and I wouldn't say this was an offensive dominated performance by Auburn, even though it was really good things on the offensive end. Obviously, they only score 69 points. I think if Auburn scores 69 points, they'll win against teams like Mississippi State, but they won't win against teams like the top tier in the SEC. And there were some alarming things for this Auburn basketball team today or in this game. 20 turnovers. We talked about how they got better at not turning over the ball. You look down the turnover line, 7 turnovers for Alan Flanagan. That's very, very bad. 4 of them for Jani Broome, 3 for Wendell Green, 1 for Jalen Williams, 1 for Yoan Traore, 1 from Leo Berman, and then 1 from Kenny Johnson. 20 turnovers. That's just too many, especially from the players that were turning them over the most. We'll talk about that here in a second. But some other alarming themes for Auburn in this game was defensive rebounding. Bad. Mississippi State had 15 offensive rebounds in this game. That is way too much to give a team, especially a team that's going 0 of 18 from 3. You gave them second chance after second
over
chance
and over
after
and
second
over.
Chance. Yeah. And they converted on it for 17 second chance points compared to Auburn's just 9.
We also seemed to give Tolu Smith, when he would miss an inside shot, he got the rebound more often than not and put it back up and in. The kid's a really good player. You don't need to give him 2 chances from 3 feet.
That's right. He had 5 offensive rebounds.
Our rebounding did not. So part of that, I believe, is Chris Moore's out.
Yep.
So he was not only good at getting rebounds, he was good at boxing the guys out so that maybe others could get rebounds too. And I think that – is that the whole answer? No.
No.
But I think it really hurt rebounding especially.
So, just like you said, another storyline from the game is Chris Moore was out, did not practice all the rest of the week after his separated shoulder against Ole Miss after coming out earlier in that game. And Alan Flanagan was entered into the starting lineup as they kind of worked around the bench minutes because of that you didn't have 5 that you felt, quote-unquote, confident in putting out there.
That's what we
– that. But another – source of minutes in this game was Leo Berman.
Yes.
Leo Berman ended up with, I'm going to try to see how many minutes he had. He had 13 total minutes, was plus minus of a plus 3. He had 3 points, had a beautiful step in mid-range jumper off the bounce, and 1 rebound, or 3 rebounds, excuse me, 1 offensive rebound. It was a big offensive rebound.
Yes, it was, by the way.
Really good to see Leor step into that backup 3 spot is where he kind of stepped in behind Flanagan, who got the starting job with Chris Moore being out. So what did you see from not only Flanagan, but that 3 position? Without there being Chris Moore, that 3 position was needed to step up. Well, Flanagan had 10 points and 2 threes in this game. Also had 7 rebounds with 7 turnovers. And then
that's my hot take for this game.
Yeah.
We talked about – on the show last week after the Ole Miss game, we talked about, okay, so Simo's out. Do you slide Alan Flanagan into that starting role? He's been doing so good coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Or do you slide somebody else into that starting role, KD or somebody like that, and let Alan continue his work off the bench? Again, we said at the end of the show last week that it was probably an Alan Flanagan in the starting role.
Yeah.
But Alan showed Alan tended to go back to what he was last year in the starting role, where he over-dribbled, made bad passes, and you can't have 7 turnovers from the 3 guard.
Yeah,
it's not possible for us to do that. and win a lot of games. Does he continue in the starting role? I don't know. We don't know how long Simo's out.
Yeah.
We do know, because you and I mentioned last week, Chance Westry. Well, Bruce has said Chance is probably – he's going to do everything he can to protect him. His knee apparently dislocates.
There were some weird issues that Auburn fans and the Auburn media were not aware about when – you know, we're seeing guys like Treor get these minutes. We're seeing Berman get these minutes. And you know, they should, you know, kind of. But Chance is not. And we know Chance is available to play, even though he missed the better part of the preseason and the early season. But it doesn't sound like they're in any sort of rush to get Chance because they want to protect him, let him get that knee back to 100% where they saw him in the summer, where Bruce Pearl talked about. In this, in what you're talking about, when he quoted about this, Bruce Pearl said he was one of the best scoring guards this summer. Offensively, he's long and tall enough and quick enough to play defense against anybody in the country, especially in the SEC at the guard position. They just don't want to rush him into that, especially trying to make him play point guard. That's a little much, especially when you've got two. You know, experienced point guards. I know Zepp is playing the two, but Zepp and Wendell can be point guards, and you've got Trey Donaldson, who's been playing well off the bench as well. So I think that's a smart move from Bruce.
Yeah, I don't. So I think you could consider this a redshirt, non-redshirt year for Chance Westry. I think that I think Ferguson was talking about his knee situation. Is chronic. It's not like it happened one time and that's it, it's fixed and everything's better. His kneecap pops out of joint, out of place ever so often.
Yeah.
And they need to get that healed and the muscles around it strengthened and not have it happen again.
Yeah.
And so I doubt you'll see Chance Westry again this year.
Yeah.
He would have been, in my opinion, when Simo went down last week, I would have slid Chance Westry in there, let Allen continue doing what he was doing because he's been doing great. And don't get me wrong, 10 points and 7 boards, that's great. If you turn it over once, maybe twice. But he was turning over inbounds passes against the press.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Especially against the team that you got coming up.
Yeah, and you've got – yeah, they'll press you the whole time in press Virginia. But you've got a kid in Wayne Green that can close out games. He's proven it. You just got to get him the ball. And when you're throwing it inbounds, and granted, Jalen Williams was in foul trouble or fouled out, so he had to go sit down. Somebody had to take the ball out. I don't want Treor throwing the ball in.
No.
I'd almost rather Zepp throw the ball in, although I understand he's little. They can put a big guy on him. It's hard for him to see. So I understand why Allen's doing it, but you can't turn the ball over against the press, throwing it in bounds.
Yeah.
You can't. You've got a kid, like I said, in Wayne Green, who's made 19 straight free throws, 9 of 9 at Ole Miss, 11 of 11 last night. He's closing. He's a closer. And when we kept throwing it out, kept throwing it away, it's the press. It was like, this game could get a little closer than we want it to.
Yeah.
And my take is that we need Westry, but I understand why he's not going to play him. Bruce has the opinion that Westry will be dominant next year. You're bringing in Aiden Holloway next year. You're going to keep Wayne Green. You're probably going to keep KD. So they've got a chance to be good at the guard position next year. So I think we'll be fine. It's just that's what I would have done. I would have put Westry in at the three.
If he was available.
If he was available. Yeah. And he wasn't. And Leor got more minutes.
And Leor played great.
Leor usually is a defensive liability. I thought he defended well.
I don't think he was in this game.
Yeah, I thought he defended well.
Yeah.
And he got, like you said, he got a huge offensive rebound when we needed it.
Yep.
And so if Leor can play like he did then, maybe hit a three or two, we'll be fine at that three guard position because Allen will get it. This is his first start. And he just got over dribble Allen.
And Chris Moore's going to be fine. Chris Moore's coming back.
Yeah.
Chris Moore's not out for the remainder of the year.
That's right.
He will be back hopefully soon. I think he will be back soon. I think that's so much more of a pain tolerance thing than a structural.
As long as it's not torn or
broken or fractured, that's such a pain tolerance thing. And, you know,
that's what Chris Moore's
going to be out there. So, I want to talk about, before we talk about the player of the game, and he's the player of the game, there's not a question about it. You cannot convince me otherwise. But I want to point out one thing, and it's evident in the past, you know, 4 or 5 games for Auburn. And last night, this game against Mississippi State made it even more evident. Auburn has 4 guys that offensively can take over games whenever they want. Their names are Wendell Green, Jani Broome, Allen Flanagan, and Jalen Williams.
Yep.
Those 4 guys have got to find more consistency on the offensive end. You know, I understand that there's one ball, so not everybody's going to go for 20 points in one night. If they do, holy crap, we're blowing the heck out of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we're going to score 100 points if we do that. Because if you get 80 from those 4, I mean, we got 69 out of everybody in this game. So, enough said. If those 4 can figure out how to consistently turn it around offensively from what we saw, especially against Georgia, even though Jani Broome was awesome against Georgia, especially against Georgia, if they can turn around, which we are seeing at our hands right now with Wendell and Allen against Arkansas, and then Wendell and Allen against Ole Miss, and Jani, and Jalen against Mississippi State. All 4 of those players have the ability to take over games offensively. And if we see that turnaround, if you see that little flip, we can be talking about a very, very good basketball team. And a team that is going to be right now, and I'm gonna discuss the graphic that the TV broadcast had last night of their rankings, of their SEC rankings. So yeah. The Color Guys SEC ranking, I don't know his name, but the Color Guys.
They called him Doc, and he was terrible. I'm sorry, he kept saying the War Eagles.
I hate that.
I was like, dude, it's the Tigers. Do you see that mascot running around behind you? That's not an eagle. That's a tiger. And we say War Eagle. You don't go to Alabama and call them the Roll Tiders.
Exactly.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Don't go to Michigan State and call them the Go Greeners.
No.
You don't go to Kentucky and say the Go Bluers. That were the Tigers, not the War Eagles. I agree. That drives me crazy, too. People don't understand.
He said it a lot.
Yeah. So, but I want to point out their rankings.
Mm-hmm.
He had Alabama number 1. And I think that's very, very clear and evident right now. Brandon Miller's the best player in college basketball. Yep. He had a big gap, and then he had Tennessee at number 2. Tennessee lost a lot of my respect losing to Kentucky at home last Saturday. It was a weird game,
and I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, that was weird. And then another gap, and had Auburn and Texas A&M at 3 and the 4. Auburn at 3, Texas A&M at 4. I think that's absolutely correct. And then at 5, he had question marks because
who knows?
Mm-hmm. I have no idea. It could be Florida. It could be Georgia. It could be Missouri. It could be Vanderbilt. Arkansas. It could be. I don't know about that.
You got beat by Vandy.
I don't know if it could be Arkansas. It could be Kentucky. Who knows? Who knows who it could be in that spot? It could be either one of the 2 Mississippi teams. Yeah, probably Mississippi.
Probably not Ole Miss.
But
probably not Ole Miss.
Who knows?
Only a winless team. I saw the graphic, and I would agree. It's probably.
100%
Alabama, no doubt. There's a big drop, and then Tennessee, and then another big drop, and then A&M's undefeated in the league. So I would probably put them above Auburn right now. We get a chance to see them next week, so we'll know for sure. I think a lot of theirs is smoke and mirrors, so I think we've got a chance to beat them. But at 5, maybe Florida. I don't know. I don't know how you do it
there. I don't know. Who knows?
It is a jumbled mess in the SEC right now, and it's good to be up above that fray. And if we do what we're supposed to do and go to Baton Rouge Wednesday and win and go to South Carolina Saturday and win, both winnable games, not saying that's guaranteed, but then we're 6-1 in the SEC and we are in that top two or three. So
that's right. That's right. And I just want to point out, and let me look this up as we're doing this live right here. There is a chance on February 11th at 1 p.m. in Auburn Arena that you could have the – and if Auburn keeps winning and if Alabama keeps winning, you could have a top 10 – right now it says it's 1 p.m. I imagine that could change. That's something that could change.
That's fine.
But
it may be a CBS game.
You have a chance to have – if Auburn keeps winning, you can jump into the top 15, maybe top 10 again.
Yep.
Because top teams are going to lose. That's just how college basketball is, especially this year. But if Auburn keeps winning, you move into the top 15. If Alabama keeps winning, I bet they are number one coming into Auburn Arena and undefeated in SEC play. That would be something.
That would be crazy. It'd be a lot of fun. I'd love to see Jalen and Allen go against 24 and see if we could shut him down. I think if you shut him down, you beat them.
Depends on how they shoot.
Because Arkansas had him at 0 points midway through the second half.
Yep.
And then he hit two straight threes and the game was done.
Yeah.
So it's like, you got to stop that dude. And he came out against LSU the other night and hit three after three after three. And all of a sudden, it was a 30-point game and ended up being, what, a 40-point win? Yeah. Good Lord.
So
they're really good.
They're, and I cannot wait to play against them twice this year. before we talk about, just like we said, player of the game, can't convince me, player of the game, I'll remind you all that this video is sponsored by NordVPN. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty, and you could be exploited by hackers. NordVPN allows you to change your IP address, making you harder to track and securing your privacy. NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal. Check out the link below in the episode description or in the YouTube description to learn more. So, cool. Talking more about Jalen freaking Williams. Hank came out, had the first 13 points of our 15 points was 4-4, was 3-3 from three, ended up with 21 points, 5-7 from three, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, one of them an unbelievable one-handed pass to Dylan Carwell for a wide-open dunk.
Dylan was standing in the lane by himself. Not really near him.
And Jalen fouled out way early in this game because there were some fouls that were questionable, especially since Auburn – or Mississippi State didn't shoot a free throw in the second half. That seemed, or in the first half.
They
in
shot
the second
a
half, it seemed like it was all free throws, especially for Mississippi State. But unbelievable. What did you see from good old number two?
I saw a Swiss Army knife. Yeah. I saw a guy who was rebounding. I saw a guy who I don't know where it came from because we've been begging him to be aggressive and take his shot.
Yeah.
He's the best three-point shooter on our team, and there's not a close second. Over the last, 2 weeks, he shot 50%, I think, from three. Nobody's close to that. His season is, 47%.
Yeah.
He was taking threes out of the offense. He dribbled up the floor and stopped and shot a three like a certain player from last year used to do.
It's like number 10 from last year.
And drilled it. He's defending. Look, he's defending an NFL tight end is who he was defending yesterday. That kid, I don't know if you looked at that kid, but his thighs were as big as both my legs put together. And he's probably Jalen's height, 6'9", 6'10". And so he worked his ass, I'm sorry, butt off on the defensive end. And like you said, the pass to Dylan
was so fantastic.
I don't, he got it and was, he was dribbling out on the wing and right in front of the student section. And Dylan's guy, for some reason, was chasing him. And it left Dylan standing there. I mean, nobody in the picture frame with him. But they were going to double team Jalen. And the minute the two ran at Jalen, he no look flipped it over, kind of over his shoulder, off the bounce, one handed.
With his left hand.
That's right, with his left hand. And hit Dylan perfectly for a big every time Dylan dunks, it's a big dunk in the jungle.
Yeah.
So he was doing what we say Jalen can do, everything. But what he added last night was, I'm going to take over on the scoring end, and I'm going to do it right away.
I'm starting right now. Yeah. Right at the tip, Jalen Williams looked like the best player on the court.
Yep.
And it did not look close. I think the only guy anywhere close was Tolu Smith of Mississippi State.
Yeah, also a really good player.
Yeah, Williams only finished with 21-7 in this game because, yes, he fouled out early. And, yes, towards the end of the game, we got the ball in our hands, in the closer's hands, of Wendell Green. So, and that's exactly what you want. Wendell ended up with 17 after having – how many did he have in the first half? He had 3 points in the first half. It's 17 in the game because he's our closer. He's the guy we want on the free throw line. He's also – gotten so much better on the defensive end, but we can talk about that quickly here in just a sec. But Jalen, just like I mentioned, can take over games, just like Wendell, just like Jani, just like Allen.
And Jalen's been struggling recently.
Yeah, well, he's not been getting last
couple games, he did not play well against Arkansas.
No.
He disappeared.
Yeah.
I even put out, sometimes our players disappear in games like this. Yeah. And Jalen's mom got on me a little bit on Twitter. We had a little fun going back and forth. But he disappeared. He played better against Ole Miss, but he didn't get the shots because he wasn't taking them. Somebody's gotten in his ear and said, look, Bruce said at the end of last year, we've built this offense around – we're going to build it around Jalen. That's what it looks like when it's built around Jalen.
It sure looks like in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Great game.
Yeah. So talking before we start talking about what's ahead for this Auburn team. Wendell Green had 3 points in the first half, and 3 points was one of six, had one nice three, had three assists. It just didn't look like he was as aggressive as he was against Ole Miss and against Arkansas in that first half. But having his ability to close and go perfect from the free throw line and get four steals in this game and got that breakaway layup to go up, 10 or 8 during the time.
Yep.
I mean, those were huge plays. He was the best player in the second half for either team, in my opinion. Wendell, and we've been saying it all year long, especially recently, Auburn's going to go as far as Wendell Green takes them.
Yep.
And – that's exactly what happened in this game. It's exactly what has happened in the previous games. And right now, we'd be talking about him as one of the best point guards in the SEC, along with Siegler from Tennessee and maybe Mark Sears from Alabama and Samir Wheeler from Kentucky and Anthony Black from Arkansas. We need to be talking about Wendell Green as one of the best point guards in the SEC because of what he can do as a closer.
Bruce says that at his press conference. He says Wendell Green's the best point guard in this league and one of the best in the country.
Yep.
So he had 17. He didn't have a rebound, which is weird for Wendell Green. Wendell usually gets rebounds.
Yep.
He had three assists and three turnovers. Usually a one-to-one ratio like that for a point guard you don't want. But you look a little further down the line, and he had four steals. We talked in our last one after the Ole Miss game that Wynn is becoming a thief. He's stealing the ball much better than he used to. He read a pass in the first half, read the pass, went by and picked it off and went down and missed the layup, but Jalen Williams followed the play and made the layup back. His ability to defend has improved drastically from last year to this year. And that's a big help to have a point guard who you know people are not going to just go by, and you know he's going to protect the ball fairly well. Three turnovers is not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
The way he plays and with the speed that he plays, I'm not worried about three turnovers. but he gets to the basket and gets fouled more than almost anybody in the country, shooting 84%, 84 for 100 free throws so far, 18 of his last 18 free throws. That's the best kind of point guard right there. It's invaluable to have a guy that you go get it in Wynn's hands. He's either going to drive to the bucket and get fouled and probably make it, or he's going to find the guy under the glass and get a dunk for us.
That's right.
So he, phenomenal run since he got pulled against Georgia.
Yeah.
Remember, he didn't close that game.
Nope.
Bruce put him on the bench and had Donaldson close the game.
Yeah.
And I think that changed the way he sees things because he's been fantastic ever since.
Yeah.
And he changed his hairdo.
Well, all of them did. Yeah. Every one of them that has hair changed their hairdo. And I love it. They keep it exactly how it's going because we won the last three games. So.
Yeah.
All right. So moving ahead, what's next for this Auburn basketball team is a trip down to the Bayou to play the LSU Tigers on a Wednesday night at 6. If you can make that trip, ESPN's telling me that the tickets are $2. So, you know.
$2.
So if you can make that trip, make it. It's a Wednesday night at 6 in the Bayou. Make that trip and go support the Auburn Tigers. But LSU's had a really interesting season. You know, in the in their non-conference, they had one loss. And their one loss was against a now really good Kansas State team at home by 2 points. And they beat some pretty good teams there as well. And their conference schedule is a gauntlet. It's unbelievable.
It was front-loaded. Ours is back-loaded.
Crazy. Yes. They're in the middle of that stretch right now. Yeah. And their first conference game, they won. They beat Arkansas at home when Arkansas was ranked number 9. Sorry, Arkansas.
I was shocked by that, by the way.
It was, yeah.
And now, not so much.
But after that, they went to Kentucky and lost. They went to Texas A&M and lost. They went to Florida at home and lost. And then they went to Alabama. It did not look like they were on the same floor as them. So, and now they get Auburn, and then they get Tennessee, and then they get Arkansas again. So,
God,
that's tough.
That's a tough road. That's a
– right. And by the way, they get Texas Tech and the Big 12 Challenge, and then Missouri and Alabama.
Good Lord.
That's hard for LSU, but talking a little bit about them, statistically, they're a pretty good basketball team. 12-5, they've lost 4 straight, so they were 12-1. But statistically, looking ahead – obviously, the guy you want to point out is K.J. Williams, the Murray State transfer who came with Matt McMahon over. He averages 18 points and 7 rebounds with 45% from 3. So,
he's about 6'10", too.
He's about 6'8", I think. Okay. But he's obviously something you want to key on. An interesting thing to keep in mind, I'm sure we'll be reminded of this multiple times on the broadcast, is Janai Broome played against K.J. Williams last year. In the
championship game.
In the what is it? SWAC conference?
No, so it's the Missouri Valley Athletic.
NBC conference championship in their tournament conference championship. It was Murray State, Morehead State, where Janai Broome was playing. KJ Williams had 6 points, 4 rebounds. Janai Broome had 32 and 8. So, you know,
KJ Williams, the guy.
Yeah, KJ Williams knows about Janai Broome. I expect Broome to, you know, cut him out of the shell that he was kind of in this Mississippi State game where he only had 5 shots, hit 6 points and 4 boards in this one, and dominate down in the Bayou against his former adversary and current adversary.
I think I feel a little sorry for the McMahon or whatever his name is. I think he's a good coach. I enjoyed him when he was at enjoyed watching him when he was at Murray State. I think if LSU will give him time, I think he could be a very good coach at LSU.
Yeah.
But basically, he took over a program. When he took over, there were no scholarship athletes left.
Yep.
And he brought several of his dudes from Murray State, and they all play well. He had to piece together a team, and everybody went, ooh, they're 12-1. He's done a fantastic job, coach of the year. And then they got into the gauntlet that their schedule is front loaded.
Yeah.
Ours is backloaded more. Ours is more, oh my gosh, it's February. Theirs was, oh my gosh, it's January. Yeah. And we're getting ready to run. I mean, Alabama made them look really bad.
Yep.
Yeah, and Alabama was hot in Coleman. And I don't care about the crowd. But they were hot in their gym. And they just ran them out of the building.
Yep.
I'm curious to see, is LSU a team that is going to bow their neck a little bit? We've lost four straight. We're at home. We can get a big win against the top 17 probably program. Or are they done?
Yep.
Are they going to go, we just got beat by 40? Yeah. I think if we could get out and jump on them early.
Just like Alabama did.
They'll quit.
I agree.
And they'll roll over and it'll be done. I think if we let them stay in the game, I don't think there'll be a crowd there at all.
It's mostly $2
for a ticket. I'd go.
Yeah.
But if you let them stay in the game long enough,
it's anything
can happen. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. So it's Auburn, jump on them quickly.
It's Auburn, LSU, anything can happen in any sort of sport in this sport, game. So.
Football especially.
No kidding. So I want to thank y'all for listening once again. This was the Jungle Show. We'll be back late next week or later this week, actually, to talk about this LSU game. Hopefully an LSU win or hopefully a Auburn win over LSU.
Okay, good.
So you're going to find us on Twitter. Just find us at Gray Oldenburger, at War Eagle Hoops. We will see y'all next time. War Eagle.
War Eagle.